All right, this is Todd Ogasawara, and this is Movies Podcast 477. This is a little bit weird because I'm going to be by myself because we lost the first 9 minutes, 45 seconds of the podcast that the good Dr. Sean Westfall and I recorded. A little bit of a glitch while using Adobe Podcast Studio Beta this morning. And so I'm going to not recreate the entire 9 minutes and 45 seconds, but just summarize what John and I spoke about, discussed during that time. And then I will splice in the audio for the rest of the podcast with both John and me. I would like to say that, this is one of the challenges you have when you use a beta product. So I'm not mad at anybody. I'm a little disappointed that this happened. And here's the situation. So John and I were recording a podcast. We're starting to record a podcast. We're 9 minutes, 45 seconds in. John decided to switch to a VPN to test something else. That dropped the connection. And Podcast Studio Beta would not let him rejoin me as I was recording the session. So what I had to do was stop the session, restart a new one, and let John join that. However, the podcast audio file for the first 9 minutes and 45 seconds apparently is stored locally, but is in some cache for, in the browser that I don't know where it is. And so when it tried to upload those, the first 9 minutes and so of the podcast, it failed. I got a failure message and I could not find the audio file. It might be there, but I just don't know where to look. So that's the situation. I will let Adobe know that that's what happened, and ask that before they go production, one of the features they add is a fail-safe, so you can save a, unintentionally or intentionally cut short session, save it locally and process it later. So I'll be giving that feedback. And as I said, if you're going to test beta stuff, you got to expect to have these kind of little interesting situation. So that's the situation. So what did we discuss? To summarize, we discussed really a couple of things. One, the thing that mostly that came up in that first 9 minutes is that we're talking about first that Google is going to kill another product, and that's Google Podcasts, and that includes an app, which I like very much. I use it on my Android devices. And you're going to need to use YouTube Music as your podcast app if you don't have anything else. I'll link to an article from The Verge, which provides some recommended alternatives, including, interestingly enough, Podbean, which I talk about in the part two of this podcast where John is back, which is the same company that owns a service that I subscribe to store these podcasts. Okay. And in addition to that, we also got into the fact that John enjoys listening to NPR, National Public Radio. And you notice that his state, Mississippi, and my state, Hawaii, do not allow you to purchase the NPR Plus bundle, which lets you have a subscription to all of the podcasts, instead making you subscribe individually. I think it's like $2.99 per podcast. So John's suggestion was, well, you should be able to see if you go into VPN and go to a state like Texas that does let you subscribe to the bundle. So that's what he did during the podcast. And word to the wise, don't turn on a VPN or don't turn off VPN if you're already using one in the middle of a podcast, because it'll probably drop your network session. And that's pretty much it. So just wanted to note that. And I will add this into prepend it to the podcast that John's involved in. And I'll talk to you next time. Movies Podcast 477. I think I forgot the date. Today is October 1st. 2023, rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. And if you don't know why I'm saying that, go look it up. Why you should say rabbit, 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 not should say. Why you can say rabbit, rabbit, rabbit for fun the first day of the month. And I'll talk to you in a second with John. Okay, and we are back. I'm not sure if this is, I think it's going to be two recordings so I can edit this. So what happened is we had a little glitch. John, we're using Adobe Podcast Beta.
Well, yes. And I jumped into a VPN over to another state to see the NPR Plus bundle, because This is how weird NPR is. So what would you do? Pay $2.99 a month for a single show, or pay $8 or more a month and get the bundle? Because when you get the bundle, that's the price is $8 or more. So I don't know anyone who, if they had a VPN service, wouldn't just do that. And Yeah, it's a weird sort of thing from a consumer friendliness perspective. But hey, I don't know how I don't know what to tell NPR. They obviously are not into making money. That's not their goal. But they it would be nice if they were into maximizing their donations.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, I'll put a screenshot in our show notes of what it looks like when you're in a market that has that NPR Plus bundle.
And I should note, though, so again, we've been using Adobe Podcast Studio Beta for a couple of weeks now, maybe 2 months. Really enjoying it, I have to say, because it really reduces my audio post-processing time. It takes care of everything except silence, truncation, and sometimes I have to bump up our volume. But other than that, it takes care of everything in terms of cleaning up the audio, which I used to do manually. And despite being on my limited retiree budget, I think I'm going to spend the $100 a year to subscribe to Adobe Podcasts. Not Adobe Podcasts. Adobe, what do they call it? Something Express, which is their cheap version of the Creative Cloud, with lesser components. But it has the one I want, which is this podcast studio. So I think it's worth being $100 a year just for a podcast studio because it just does such a good job of cleaning up. But what it didn't do was it dropped John because of a little network issue. But then it wouldn't let him just jump back into the same recording. And so while I was, chatting away all by myself, talking about not being able to see the podcast bundle, John got dropped. I had to stop the recording and then restart it. But it doesn't pause the recording. What it does is it creates a new one. And so what I see is it's uploading right now a 9-minute and 45-second audio file up to the Adobe Express Cloud, and it started a new one. So that's where we are today. Also, John has an icon on his, and I don't know, and I'll ask him about that later. But anyway, yeah, mine just says teal. John has a nice little icon.
Yeah, and I did not add that icon, so I don't know. Maybe that's not my initial.
Yeah, speaking of icons, it does know your full name, though. Speaking of icons, I did notice that when I sent you a iMessage this morning to let you know I was getting ready, I'm almost ready to start the podcast, that it changed your contact poster, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So did you create a poster? I see a yellow background.
I did. Yeah, the yellow background is the one I created. So
Did you get my new contact poster also, which also has a yellow background or brown?
Let me look. I'm
just curious.
I saw your normal graphic, I guess your little guy did change.
But yellow? No? Or brown? Anyway, the reason to ask is, unnamed people in my house, and there's only one other unnamed person in my house, she has not updated her, or I think she just updated her phone, late last night. So I've not been able to test this new contact poster to see what it looks like on another phone, another iPhone running, iOS 17. I think you have to have iOS 17 to see it during a phone call. But anyway, for those of you who haven't fussed with the contact posters that's new in iOS 17, you'll probably get a notification that asks you if you want to change it. And you might want to do so. It's kind of a fun thing.
Yeah. One thing that is sort of nice is if you are like me, you had contact posters for people, or you have pictures you liked, and it will download by default the new one. If you want, you can go into the person settings and revert back to their previous. So, for example, my sister-in-law, I like a photo I took of her and my niece years ago, and so I kind of want that to stay as her contact photo in my phone. So while hers is nice, I was able to go back in and just uncheck. It was basically there's a button that says revert. And I'll put a couple of screenshots, Todd, into our show notes so you can see what it looks like for me about you. What's on your contact card. When I go in just now. So eventually I'll have that because I have to get the screenshots over from my iPhone to my Mac.
I get it. And I just, another rant. I just saw an email message come in that says my broadband provider is planning a service maintenance in my area. It says they're calling it an upgrade. I have my thoughts about that, and that I may be without internet service sometime between midnight and 6 a.m. tomorrow. So yay me. Okay, I can live without internet for a little while. It won't be the whole window, by the way. They claim it's 15-minute outage, so we shall see. We shall see. You know, first, you know, Amazon apparently violently destroys a package, and now this. So, I don't know. Also, I got an email from somebody called Meister, M-E-I-S-T-R. I guess that's like Mr. Meister Labs, working to improve my experience. I didn't even know I had their product. What the hell? Anyway, I shall look them up.
They would like to improve your experience so that you remember that you're using something of theirs at some point.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. All right, so we will figure that out later. I was going to say earlier, by the way, I think The Verge has an article that I was referring to about Google Podcasts going away sometime in 2024. One of the alternative apps to recommend is Podbean. And just as an aside, Podbean is the same company, or their app, the company Podbean, is the same company that I use to host these podcasts. So I pay a reasonable amount a year. I don't think it's horrendously expensive. To store these podcasts, and you know, going back to 2008, I think. So Podbean, I've had pretty good luck with them so far. They're very reasonably priced. I have their app because I've used it to record a podcast, but I've really not used it to listen to it. And just it's for John's amusement, especially since he's an Apple fan. The first time I used it to record a podcast, I think I was standing in Edinburgh, Scotland, outside of an Apple store stealing their Wi-Fi. And just to see, you know, what it was like to record outside with a little, I think I didn't even use a microphone. I think I used the whatever iPhone I was using back then to record on it. Or was it? Yeah, it was an iPhone because my Google Pixel phone had signal there, but I didn't have iPhone signal because I was too cheap to pay for roaming. I recorded a podcast sitting outside of the Apple store in Edinburgh, Scotland. So that was kind of fun. But anyway, people are probably wondering, what is this Asian guy doing out here? And he looks very suspicious without his Scottish
accent. Well, that's just normally what you look like. Very suspicious.
There you go. Anywho, so there's that. So Podbean is one of the, I need to go look at the apps as I've already got it installed and see if maybe that's what I want to use to listen to podcasts on Android device going forward. Okay, and I do see what John is saying now about choosing an option for NPR bundle. Huh, interesting.
Yeah, so if you are an NPR fan and you have a bundle available in your area, congratulations. Yeah. Most of the stuff.
By the way, you know, I haven't checked in a while, but the Car Talk website used to have all of their archives for free. So, and since they don't produce new, you know, since one of the two brothers passed away years and years ago, there are no new Car Talks that I'm aware of. Maybe I should look. Maybe I'm wrong. All right. But that was a great, 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 great radio show. My favorite. I used to tune in every Saturday, I guess. Okay. Next up, John, have you tried Meta's new AI?
I have not. I saw that you were putting stuff in there and you talked to it. So you interviewed it. What were your thoughts and what did it have to say for itself?
Well, what were its thoughts? So, yes, yeah, so Meta, you know, the parent company for Facebook, has a Meta AI chat bot in Messenger, Facebook, what needs to be called, I guess, Facebook Messenger, and also Instagram. And there are various personas with, I guess, specialty information. Although I installed the generic Meta, what's called Meta AI. The rest have names, by the way, and avatars of various ethnicities. So I asked it two things. And I asked it, one, what can I say about you, Meta AI, in a technology podcast? And it says, you can say I'm a concise AI assistant, expert in mobile text communication. Well, that's interesting. Providing friendly and accurate assistance based on Meta's advanced AI technology. Would you like to learn more about my capabilities? And then it goes on to say that, you know, it's basically a natural language understanding and provides accurate responses. Now, that's debatable across various topics and contexts. And it has vast knowledge, making it versatile. How I really haven't asked it a lot of questions. The next question, next and only question I asked it after that, and I didn't really play with it after that, is what do you know about me? Because, you know, Facebook knows a lot about me. It knows a lot about everybody. And it claims, and this is where I raise an eyebrow in a very Mr. Spock-like way. I don't have access to personal information about individuals unless it has been shared with me during our conversation. I'm designed to respect user privacy and confidentiality. Would you like to share more about yourself? At this point, I felt like, this is Eliza. And how do you feel about that? I'm going to play with it a bit more. I think it's kind of interesting. Apparently, it does focus on a couple of the topic areas, including, I think, sports, entertainment, and things like that. I think it would be more interesting if it were better integrated into Facebook and Instagram. And you could ask it things like, which is my most interesting photo to share on Instagram or something like that, based on your vast metrics of what is popular. Or, you know, it's somebody's birthday on Facebook and, you know, write a personalized message for me, you know, warm and fuzzy, and include a photo of us together, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, you know, based on photos already posted to Facebook or Instagram. But I digress. I think that's what I think so far anyway. I found it interesting that they have it. I guess it might be more interesting if I got one of their headsets and was able to access it through that. We'll look forward to see if you sign up for the preview. I guess it's currently in preview mode, although it was very fast.
I mean, I use enough Meta products because I still do use Facebook regularly, but I don't know how much more I want to use Meta products. So they're another one on my list of just kind of Meta and Amazon, I think, are in my necessary evil category right now.
Yeah.
I'm not
exactly Google.
Thrilled about it. Yeah, but Google even has a slightly better rep in my mind. Google, Apple, and Microsoft kind of exist on one tier of necessary evil in my mind, and Meta and Amazon sort of exist on another tier. So,
oh boy,
it's all about how comfortable are you with these companies? And at the end of the day, I am also completely aware that it could be six of one, half dozen of another, that they're all equally as bad, but
right,
you just never know.
Yeah. I did ask Google Bard, by the way, the same questions, what do you know about me? And he gave basically the same answer that that Meta AI did. I have not asked ChatGPT or Bing Chat. Oh, speaking of ChatGPT, because I know you use that a lot more than me. Have you, I think you might need the paid version. So, and I do not have a paid version, but I think you need ChatGPT-4. But have you or anyone you know tried the voice access where you can talk to it and
no.
talk back to you?
No, but it does sound interesting.
Yeah.
So I'm intrigued. But, you know, the only voice interaction I saw recently was on a podcast last week. They were talking about Microsoft's latest offerings for AI within Windows 11. And it basically showed that even when you were asking it to do things through voice, you might still have to confirm by tapping or clicking, and it didn't seem all that useful at that point.
Yeah. I activated, or I guess, or maybe did I allow it, or was I forced to? I can't remember. But I have Copilot for Windows 11 running. Haven't really played with it that much, but I've allowed it to, you know, make its presence known. I was just thinking about this voice thing. We need to find a friend named Dave, and I know several people named Dave. And, you know, just have it say, you know, have ChatGPT say, hello, Dave.
you're going that route. I'm going, Dave's not here.
You know,
just have it continually say that over and over again.
Yeah. And for those, for some reason, who don't know what we're referencing, we're talking about the classic Stanley Kubrick movie and Arthur C. Clarke novel, 2001, A Space Odyssey. Hal Nine.
Well, that's what you're referencing. I'm referencing Speech and Talk. So we can reference either way we would like on this.
But anyway, you're right. Now I remember Cheech and Chong's routine. If was, and again, people might be too young to remember that, but we shall see. Okay, so that's my that was my sum total of experience in Meta AI. It's active in my Messenger now. I will say it's, well, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but it if you are in a mobile, you know, using the app, and then you switch over to the desktop and use it from the web, it's, you know, just like everything else in Messenger, it's got all of your AI, Meta AI conversation saved, like any other conversation with a, you know, real person. And now Meta AI is probably going to take issue with me saying I am a real person, Todd, but But
you're just annoying so many things. You've annoyed,
yeah. So it's interesting. And I should say that the thing I was trying to remember, NPR bought Pocket Casts years ago, but I guess they sold it off again. Oh, yeah, the NPR sold it. So this, I'm looking in, 2021, sir, over 2 years ago, January 2021, they sold it to somebody else. I don't know who. Public media. Huh. All right. So public media owners agree to sell podcast platform, but to whom? Okay. Not a great article. It's really good to have both parties when you're talking about selling stuff. All right. On to more stuff. Okay. So the, I spelled Mac Rumors wrong. So Mac Rumors, published a thing called macOS Sonoma 50. macOS Sonoma 50 news. Punctuation is important. 50 new features and changes worth checking out. So, what did you think? Have you?
Oh, there were
updated.
I did update a few weeks ago, and I went through this article, and it answered a few questions for me.
Oh,
one. I was very interested where those iPhone widgets were coming from, and it is actually from your iPhone. I thought, well, how are these apps? Because I don't have a Mac with Apple Silicon, so I don't normally get these things that are normally Apple Silicon only, and I thought, well, that's kind of interesting. And so now I've got some of my iPhone widgets that I now know where they came from, so that's kind of cool. The show desktop toggle. So that was the first thing I noticed with Mac OS Sonoma. Was that by default now when you tap anywhere on the desktop, it clears all your windows so you can see your desktop.
Yeah, now, I like it.
Yeah, I don't like it either because I have a tick motion that I've noticed where I do that regularly to get back to the Finder menu. Because, you know, when you click on the desktop, Finder menu bar comes back.
Right.
And so if you're going to use Finder or you need to go any of those things, and also it's generally fewer items, so it lets me see more of my icons over in the upper right. So I just do this a lot. Where I tap out of a window to talk to the desktop. And it was really getting annoying that it was always going back to clear the desktop. Plus, I have a trackpad, so I'm used to doing the, like, five-finger splay-out motion to get to the desktop, so I don't need a shortcut for it. So I was very thankful it told me how to turn that off. But those were the two that I noticed the most. You noted a few things. But the other thing that I will say in Sonoma and iOS 17 and iPadOS that has led to a lot of joy in my life, oddly enough, has been the pets now in Memories. Because I've been watching a lot of videos that it's putting together of my pets over the years, showing up at different times in their lives. That is a cool feature that I think is a quality of life improvement, maybe the biggest quality of life improvement for pet owners.
Yeah, I was going to mention that in my list of interesting things, but am I seeing it? Let me bring up what's new in photos. So if you bring up photos for the first time, which apparently it's the first time I've brought up photos on this particular Mac, one of the four things it mentions is pet albums. Find photos and videos of your cat or dog. I have a rabbit, but that's okay. I've had a series of rabbits. Also, albums in the photo widget. Adjust the focus point. Oh, that's interesting. Choose a new focus point in portrait photos. Captured an iPhone 13 and newer. Hmm. Yeah, I did notice that in some of the portrait photos. You can also take away the bokeh effect and more customizable memories. Okay, so I shall look at my people and pets and try to see what's there. I'll let it run for a while. Maybe it'll generate something running in the background. Yeah, especially those of us pets for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah, and I will also notice, I put this in the show notes, the adaptive settings on the AirPods 2 are very interesting now. AirPods Pro 2, second generation, you have to have for this. This is the first thing that I'm really glad I upgraded to the second generation for. They have three new features, conversation awareness, personalized volume, and loud sound reduction. Personalized volume, I'm not too thrilled about. It helps adjust the media volume by taking into account your environmental conditions.
Mm-hmm.
And I must just like loud things in my ears because every time I put my AirPods in, it's always the first thing I have to do now is turn them up. So maybe I should just see if it can get it right. Maybe I shouldn't be listening to things at a louder volume, but that might get switched off very soon. Conversation awareness is interesting, though, And I thought it did something the other day, and I thought, no, it surely wasn't that smart. And it actually did, according to the help documentation. So this feature, when someone talks or you talk, it lowers the media volume. And Apple demoed that, and that's been very useful to me because I work out in the mornings by walking or jogging, and people see me, and they, you know, sometimes they want to say more than just hi. They want to ask a question or they're going to say something. And generally, this was annoying because I'd have to reach up and tap my AirPods, turn off the volume.
Right. You know, darn people. Yeah.
And I'd have to ask them to repeat themselves, et cetera. So now that has been greatly reduced. But here's the even more interesting thing. If you're listening to spoken media, like a podcast, when someone starts talking to you, it'll pause after a few seconds. So music will stay at a low volume because the thing is you don't really care if you miss a lyric or two, because you probably have heard that song before. But of course, if I get jumped into a conversation with someone and they are, talking at me and I'm going to miss more than 2 or 3 seconds, I'm glad that it's paused and I can just resume that later. So that was a little feature Apple did not mention that I actually think is pretty cool. That goes, okay, this item, don't just lower it. Turn it off completely for a moment until the conversation's ready. And then after you stop talking, I don't think it doesn't come back automatically. You have to then tap the stem or press the stem to get it to restart, like you paused it yourself.
You know, I wonder how it knows the difference between a podcast and or spoken word and music. Like, I wonder if it do that with audiobooks. I wonder if it'll do that with certain kinds of spoken word music. I don't know if rap is considered spoken word in some of it, but you know, there are some old country songs, for example, where the singer is not really singing, but really talking for extended periods of time in a rhythmic way, but it's really still talking. I wonder if it knows the difference. Maybe I can test that. Maybe I can go find one of those kind of songs.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I can't test that. I don't have AirPods Pro 2. I only have AirPods Pro.
Well, send me a song and I guess I can run a test.
Okay. Okay. I'll go find some. Or maybe some of the really old song, the Green Berets, the Ballad of the Green Berets, which is a long talking portion. But anyway, not a funny song, by the way. I laughed because I was just thinking how old it is. It's like way older than John. But anyway, okay. So, the other thing I wanted to notice about the things in Sonoma that I found interesting. Well, widget, same as you, John, although I was running it on a M1 MacBook, so it didn't really surprise me. It's just like, oh, okay, so they added that. I didn't realize it was running on Intel Macs, too, and I'm running an Intel Mac right now. I'm sorry, yeah, I'm running Intel Mac right now, so it doesn't support iPhone apps. The other thing is that I haven't tried is links between notes, so basically like hypertext for notes. I don't know, I haven't tried it. And I don't know if it's a Mac, is a Sonoma thing or just an Apple upgrade across, I would expect it's across the board, is you can now share an AirTag, which is kind of,
Very happy about that because my wife's AirTag, or my AirTag that I put in her car just to have an AirTag in there, just to, remember where we parked and such, it was always annoying her iPhone by saying, you've got this AirTag around you.
Right.
The other thing I wish it could do, so my AirPods Pro second generation have been popping up on other people's devices quite a bit if they hang around me, like coworkers and my wife. It's like, this AirPods are near you. Like, well, yeah, because he works right next door to me.
Yeah, my wife's AirPods.
There's a little bit of popped up too. Tweaking that needs to be done on that to avoid those weird issues.
Yeah. So that's kind of, I like that idea. Like you said, the car was the one that came to mind also. And I was also thinking maybe luggage, if you're traveling with family members or whatever, that you could all, have shared. Just those AirTags can be shared. It's like, here's our stuff. It's coming down to, whatever.
Yeah.
So those are the things that, and there's a lot of stuff that's new in Sonoma, but those are the only ones that really I found interesting. I should note, by the way, I saw the contact you have for me. That's my old one. Yeah, that's like an old.
Yeah, it's interesting because I could revert back to it if I wanted to.
Yeah. It's also got a, aside from the fact I'm retired now, it's got a job title that I haven't had since 2016, but that's okay.
Yeah. It's just not updating your information that often.
you know, as we get older, I think we should freeze each other in time so that we remember people and things as they were, in their best times. Okay. No, I do not. I still do not have AirPods Pro 2. My wife has them. I don't. And they hers show up on my phone on occasion. It's not like 100%, but on occasion, I was like, oh, she opens her case and goes, there's AirPods Pro 2. Yes, I know. They're not mine. So, whatever. Okay. Well, that's interesting about the adaptive settings, though, on the Pro 2. That's kind of annoying, isn't it? All right.
A little bit.
Okay. And you bought more stuff?
Yes, I bought something I've been interested in. So Withings, the fitness software hardware company, announced at CES last year this item called the Body Scan Connected Health Station or scale. It's basically a very fancy scale that could do a number of things beyond what most scales can do and what their other scales can do. But I'm very interested in its abilities or its purported abilities to look at body composition, both upper and lower body. Because, you know, a lot of the scales that you get if they do body fat, you know, analysis and stuff like that, they only have the leads on your feet.
Right.
So they don't really know a lot about you, and they kind of make calculations based on limited data points. So I've been waiting for this to come out. It did finally get announced, and got announced, like I said, at CES, but finally on Wednesday night, I got an email going, it's available. So I purchased it, and it said it'd be here in 2 or 3 weeks, but amazingly, it's supposed to be here tomorrow.
Wow.
So I will have hopefully first thoughts on it next week. I have a few friends that are very interested in it, so we will see what people come up with. This is also in tangent with Withings' new version of their app. Unfortunately, it comes with a subscription service that I will not or do not want to pay for. So I will likely skip that. But yeah, interesting health tech stuff that I've kind of gotten into over the.
Yeah, it's not cheap, by the way.
No.
List price is $399.95. So ouch. It says it has four light sensors.
But it does bioelectric things that the scales do not do.
Yeah. So. Multi-user friendly, that's always good. Like if you want to wait.
Gives you the daily weather forecast. Like you need your sleep. We'll tell you what it's going to be like. Yeah, go down to the very bottom of features. You know, there's things that Withings was like, we can throw that in, right? I mean, why not?
Free and unlimited storage of weight data. Stores up to 16 weigh-ins at one time if the scale cannot sync. Huh. Oh, color screen. Fancy.
Huh.
Precise to 50 grams. That's pretty precise, I gotta say. Body scan can be installed on a smartphone or tablet, iOS or Android. Cannot be set up from a computer. Interesting. Oh, and yay, it supports Wi-Fi 802.11g, unlike every other IoT device, which only does 802.11b. So yay, Withings. Getting with the program here. Huh. Wow, that is pretty pricey, but for people who are serious about their health, as John is, it looks like a kind of an amazing product.
Yeah, so I'll have first thoughts probably next week on it. We can dig in.
Wow, it says it can identify changes in your cardiovascular health and give you a vascular age something.
And a lot of other scales try to do this, and they do it through using formulas and different algorithms that have been around for a long time. This one, I'm hoping, since it'll have some more data, it can actually be more precise. Because what I've noticed with the body fat analysis scales I have so far and used and tested out, they really, as your body composition changes, they can't really change the results they give you. And I know that I've had some body composition changes in the last 3 years, but if I look at identical weights from like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, where I know I have more muscle now than I had 3 years ago, the other variables that it calculates are right in line with it. So it's obviously using a formula. It's not really using more data. So I'm going to be curious to compare those things as well.
Yeah. Speaking of fitness things, you know, I've been complaining about my Fitbit Charge 5 and its associated Fitbit app for a while now, basically since I got it. And so Fitbit recently updated their iPhone app, their iOS app. And I have to say it syncs much faster now, to the point where it's like, oh, okay, this isn't, you know, driving me nuts. But they took away the ability to see the battery level right at the top of the front page of the app. So that's annoying. And so you have to dip down, you have to do one, two clicks to see the, you know, info about the Charge 5, where it does show battery info, except it's always wrong. It always says battery full when it's not. So, and before people ask, yes, the Charge 5, you can see the battery level on the Fitbit display itself by swiping up or down. I can't remember. But at any rate, it's so tiny, I practically need a magnifying glass to see it. By the way, so the Fitbit app reports battery full. The Fitbit Charge 5 itself says it's at 77%. So a little bit of a disagreement on accuracy. Fitbit Charge 6 came up, but that came out or was just announced. But as I said, I'm just fed up with Fitbit, which is a sub of Google. And yeah. On this die.
Well, that's...
Oh, well.
That's why they're on my list of, you know... Well, Fitbit... Google is still on that same tier with Apple and Microsoft, but they might very soon, because of what they're doing to things like Fitbit, flip down to the Meta Amazon tier.
Yeah. And it's not so much privacy in this case, but it's just, you know... usability, or, and the fact they actually took away a function sounds like a dog thing, but anyway, a function
I like take just, away the functions.
They took away the ability to, I guess they removed the barometer, and so it doesn't do a stair, you know, floor count anymore when you go up and down stairs. And I live in a two-story home, so I kind of enjoyed seeing that. But fortunately, my Apple Watch does keep track of that, so. Yay. Okay. Body scan by Withings. Yeah, I think I might have a couple of Withings things. I do not have their scale because I bought everything from Sam's Club, you know, Center of Technology.
Mm-hmm.
And every time they had the pull card, it wasn't actually there. So I ordered a different one. And I can't order through Amazon for some reason. And I'm too cheap to pay for shipping. So there you go. But that's fine. I am okay with it. All right. And that is about it, I think. Yeah, I think that's about it. So we've got, I'll go pull together these two files. We'll see how that works. Sorry for it a little. Wow, it's still uploading the first 9 minutes, 45 seconds. But we'll figure that out later. This week, we've got Google's Pixel announcements coming out. I don't think there's anything that'll probably interest you, John. Pixel.
Oh, we'll see.
Models.
We made so much as possible.
Yeah. But we'll see if we can invite some friends who might be able to participate if their time permits and have a discussion about the Google Pixel nonsense. I got to say that as a Pixel 7a owner, I bought it earlier this year, and a Pixel tablet owner, I don't see anything interesting in their announcements either because, you know, I already have what I want and I'm not going to pay $1,000 or more for a Pixel 8 Pro or whatever. I am hopeful that Android OS 14 may have some improvements for my tablet specifically, but otherwise, I don't think I've seen any word on what's going to come out at Android that has really interested. But in any case, this has been Mobile News Podcast 477. I'm Todd Agassor, the good Dr. John Westfall. We'll talk to you next time.